Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
But I'm going to be speaking to us. I mean, we all know, I'm talking from Luke 24, 1 to 12. It's passage in the scripture that we've heard over and over again. So there's nothing new that gets spoken about from this area on Holy Week. We've heard it week after week, year after year. But this morning, I want us to say yes to an invitation from the Holy Spirit to live in remembrance. Not to just read it and be like, oh yeah, I know what this says. I know the story. I've seen the movie. I've seen The Chosen. I know how it goes. But to be present in these moments. And so I want us to read from Luke 24, 1 to 12. And I've got it in the English Standard Version. So we're going to read together, and it's right behind me if you don't have your Bibles. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared." So we know now that it's been 2 days since the cross. So, well, the day before was Sabbath, but the day before that we know is Saturday, was Good Friday. So they went through Friday, Saturday, and this was what we would say Easter Sunday. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen." You know what I find so interesting? We're going to keep reading it through. But I find it so interesting at how the parallels are. The women were so shocked to see Jesus not there and these angels. And then the angels were so shocked that they were looking for the living amongst the dead. Wow. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Let's keep reading. "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and to be crucified on the third day. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves and he went home marveling at what had happened." When you read it and you sit in it, there's so much more in there than what we remember. I don't know about you, but when I was praying about what to bring today, the Lord zeroed in on things that I had read a billion times before. And so that's the invitation for us today. But, you know, going back to the story, these women saw Jesus put in the tomb. Let's put ourselves in their shoes for a moment. They witnessed it. They were there. They saw his death. And the women had come to properly complete the hurried burial performed after Jesus' death of anointing the dead body of Jesus. And they saw the heavy stone that sealed the entrance to the tomb was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. I love all the old school songs, so Just, I love that song. All the songs we sang today. And they were perplexed. I love this word. But it just means confused, puzzled, having absolutely no understanding of what was happening. And the women, in their confused, puzzled state, are met with two angels who ask them, "Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but has risen." And you know, Jesus had told the disciples, if you read in the accounts of, if you read in Matthew, if you read in John, you read in the accounts that Jesus had told the disciples about his death. And he had told them, I will rise on the third day. In Luke alone, he says it in Luke 9:22, in 9:44, and in chapter 18, verses 31 to 34. Given that repetition, you think that the disciples would have been thinking about looking forward to the third day with hopeful curiosity. However, we see here on the third day, after Jesus' death, there are no male disciples around. However, many female disciples brought expensive spices and perfumes that were customarily there to anoint a dead body. Here's what we can tell straight away from the scripture. Nobody is expecting a resurrection.
Yeah, wow.
Surely one disciple would have remembered. But it didn't occur to them to expect a resurrection.
Wow.
And when I put myself in the disciples' shoes, I think, wow, I would have been in deep grief. I probably wouldn't have been thinking straight. And perhaps they are in deep grief. Maybe they're overwhelmed and shocked, fearful for their lives, the lives of their families. Maybe they're still wallowing or struggling with feelings of guilt at abandoning Jesus. And also, for context sake, we should note the Greeks didn't believe in resurrection, and the Jewish people, some of them believed in a future resurrection when the entire world will be renewed, which we also believe in. But they had no concept at this time of this kind of resurrection happening. And we see this in John 11, and Rue read out, Ravimbo read out the scriptures in pre-service prayer when Lazarus has died. And Martha tells Jesus that she knows her brother will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And then Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." And she believes, but she still doesn't fully understand what that means. So these people in the Bible, when we read this, they weren't predisposed to believe in the resurrection any more than we are today. You know, it's a rare thing. And something, honestly, when I think about it, that has been written into fantasy movies, that has been written into fairy tale movies and even horror movies, but not something that we hear of happening every day. And in the world that we live in, conspiracies are rife. And still, the resurrection of Jesus attracts conspiracies. I'm sure you've heard of them. But what is important is, yes, nobody is expecting a resurrection. But for us living on this side, what is our expectation of the resurrection? Our expectations don't make the truth any less truthful.
Wow.
The truth is truth, right?
Come on.
However, our revelation of the truth, and in this case, the resurrection of Jesus, determines if this is just an imaginary account for us or if it is a lived, tangible, evidenced reality for us. You have to believe that he really lived and that he really died and that he rose from the dead. And if you see that truth and you believe in it, if we believe in it, it leads to an experience which leads to more understanding of the truth, which leads to more experience. But we see the disciples were in a fragile state. And this is the part of the story that I want us to zero in on. It was only until the angel reminded them, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember, he told you." And what does it say in verse 8? It's a very short verse. And they, what? Remembered his words. In remembering Jesus' words, it wasn't just the words, but remember, these disciples walked and lived with Jesus. It was more than just his words that they remembered. It was their embodied experiences of being with Jesus. What precious memories to have. But each one of those can of us can have those memories. So for us sitting in church on Easter weekend, on Easter Sunday, what does the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus mean to us? Like I said before, we've heard this story many times before. All the time we hear this story. And what happens is, as humans, we become desensitized. The first time we hear something, we're like, whoa. The 10th time we hear it, we're like, oh, yeah. 100th time we hear it, 1,000 times we hear it, right? What do you remember? Not just in your knowledge of the study of these scriptures, of what you've read, but what do you remember about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus in your life? And as you know, it's interesting, as the angels reminded the women remembered his words. And what do? They ran off to tell the disciples. And the disciples were so skeptical, because if you think about this time, the testimony of women at that time had zero authority. And so, but there was one person who was like, well, I'm going to go anyway, Peter. But Peter rose to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen cloth, some translations say the grave clothes, by themselves, and he went home marveling. Even Peter didn't fully understand what had just happened, but he knew something amazing happened. He just didn't fully have that understanding. And for us, we live on this side of what happened. We get to see how the story ends. We get so much insight, we get every word. Every part of the story. But do we really live like Jesus is actually alive? Wow. Do we really live like he walked out of the tomb, like it really is finished? Wow. Do we really live in the power of the resurrection? What would it look like? What would our lives look like? What would our marriages look like? What would our relationship with our kids look like? What would our street look like? What would our community look like? What would our nation look like?
Wow, so good.
See, a lot of people, I would guess most people in the world, except for those unreached people groups, can recollect the story of Jesus. And it's important to know the story. But the memory, just the recollection of it, that doesn't transform us. It doesn't transform anyone, because the world knows the story. Everyone knows the story. But what does it mean to us? See, there's so much that is a mystery in life, about the resurrection of Jesus, about his life. But in remembering the words of Jesus and the revelation of them for us personally, we are able to make enough sense of the mystery of the stone being rolled away and there being no sign of Jesus. And there's only one possible conclusion for the one who believes. There's only one. an important thread in this story is remembrance. Remembrance gives way to trust, and trust gives way to faith. You know, it's so obvious. In the secular dictionaries, remembrance applies to the act of remembering or the fact of being remembered. So we all know that. But in the Bible, remembering actually has the full Semitic sense of recalling in such a way that the event of the past is actually made present once again. So I'm going to say that again. Remembering in the Bible has the full Semitic sense of recalling in such a way that the event of the past is actually made present once again. Remembrance not represents, represents, makes present the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Here, today, right now where you're sitting. And you know what's beautiful? That the Bible is filled with remembrance. God's people in the Bible continuously set up places of remembrance. They are compelled to set up places of remembrance. They set up altars, not for sacrifice, but to mark and remember important events, times when they saw God's faithfulness to them. We see it in Joshua chapter 4, verses 21 to 24, after God parted the River Jordan. They built an altar of 12 stones, one for each tribe. And it says this, "When your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall tell them, 'So these stones shall be to the people of Israel as memorial forever.'" So when people ask us what the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus means to us, what will we tell them? Wow. You know, this text teaches us that we can be so close to Jesus and still forget. No one was as close as the 12, right? And then the inner three, his inner three. They were so close to him, and in that moment, they still forgot. As humans, forgetting is something we're very prone to. I forgot what I ate for breakfast this morning. Like, I forget things all the time. I have a terrible memory. I have to continuously write things down. But who here has forgotten something? Right? Maybe there are horror stories of people forgetting really important things like anniversaries or like birthdays. Right? We forget. Not you. But it's a struggle we all experience. And even when we have been so impacted, we are prone to forget even the most precious memories that we have with God. Even when we have understood and received comfort from the Spirit of God, we are still prone to forget. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is best at putting remembrance in our minds. And he reminds us. You know, it may be we forget because we're in the same boat as the disciples. We have seasons where we're in deep grief. We have seasons when we're coming to terms that things in life didn't happen the way we expected them to or we wanted it to. There's just a disappointment with things, how life is going, certain things in our relationships. There's fear, there's insecurity. We're comparing ourselves constantly. So we understand where the disciples were at. But John Gill puts it this way. The women at the tomb, they had their memories refreshed by the angels and their understandings opened by the Spirit of God. Remembrance is a powerful thing. You know, we can't speak about remembrance and not look at Luke 22 at the institution of the Lord's Supper. It says, and he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in... When we take communion, just as we did on Friday, we are remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and the bread and the juice are tangible, visible reminders of the love of Jesus. And isn't it beautiful that he gave us a reminder to stimulate remembrance in our hearts? Because remembrance is not just an act. It's not a ritual that we do, but it's a multi-sensory experience in which eating the bread and drinking the cups deepens our relationship and our experience with Jesus. If we allow it to, it does. It's not when we take of the cup and the bread or when we remember. It's not just a casual reflection. But remembrance and reflection in that moment is a vehicle to repentance and thanksgiving. Remembrance is a living and active thing. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. I want us to take some time to just sit in remembrance of what the resurrection of Jesus and the beautiful implications of what Jesus has done for us and what it means for us. And I'm not going to do this by reading my words, but I'm going to do it by reading the word. So I want you to get comfortable in your seat. Maybe you need to stand up. Whatever it is you need. I want you to just take a moment to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because of the resurrection, we are made alive with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2, 4 to 8 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. So in that the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Thank you, Jesus. Because of the resurrection, we have a living hope and gifted an imperishable inheritance. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 7 says, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefined and unfading, kept in heaven for you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.